Hallelujah. Amen, amen. You know, maybe something is true that I have denied for years. You know, for years I've been accused of winding children up. And I actually have refuted that. I've actually disagreed with that. I do not wind children up. They wind me up. You know, just it doesn't take much either. But now I was watching you guys this morning and I was thinking, maybe I do wind kids up. Because it takes a little bit and you guys get going. And then you don't want to quit. You're like a bunch of children. Welcome to church. Amen. Some of us are never going to grow up. Let's pray. Father God, right now in Jesus' name, thank you for the word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for giving to us. And God, what I would pray that you would open up the eyes of our understanding and we can see even more clearly all the ways that you have given to us, all the ways that you have poured things into our life. Father, help us just see those more. And I believe this is true, that once we see more, we'll walk in more. And then we'll realize, oh, there's still more to see. There's still more to walk in. We're never going to get to the end of light that you want to bring into our life, God. And that you want to have us bring into this world. So thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for the things you've put in my heart. Thank you for the things that you're going to put in people's hearts this morning. Praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, last week during the sermon, I said two or three times that I didn't know if I would pick up with what I was teaching on last week or not. And I actually do have, what's that, Sally? Ah, amen. Hallelujah. Bless you. And I have it in my notes, but something tells me I'm not going to get there because this morning as I was sitting on my couch going over my notes again, I like to go over them again on Sunday morning and maybe I rewrite them and then I end up writing new notes and stuff. And I ran across some things this morning and it was kind of interesting. What happened is I had my notes and they were here. And then I had to keep putting another verse of scripture at the beginning of my notes. And then I had to put another one at the beginning of my notes and another one at the beginning. And pretty soon the beginning of my sermon was backed up about six or seven different passages of scripture. So I don't know if I'll ever really get to the beginning. But we will begin in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And I'm just looking forward to it today. You know, and this ran through my heart, and I forgot to mention it, but when Bob mentioned about Palm Sunday, and for those of you that, you know, you do those traditions and things like that, there is nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with doing Palm Sunday, and there wouldn't be anything wrong if we had palm branches in here and did that. But how many of you know I'm just not very good at that stuff? My wife's going, yeah, I know that. I'm just not good at it, so forgive me. Amen. It's not that it's really a sin. It's just, it's not something I'm good at. It's not where my mind goes. My mind goes other places. My heart goes other places. And so the Gospel of John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And I know my notes were going to take me to my last note again this Sunday, same as it was last Sunday, is Jude. And Jude's going to take us to the Holy Spirit, but then something happened. We're going to start with the Holy Spirit today, and I want to share some things that God put in my heart. So you're probably all at John chapter 7 already, and I am not. John chapter 7, verse 37. And on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink." Anybody thirsty? Anybody thirsty? Jesus stands up and he says, if anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. I love that it inserted that in the Bible. To believe on Jesus as the scripture has said. Everybody say, as the scripture has said. Do you know Jesus is who he is? He did what he did. He does what he does. And he doesn't change to fit everybody's opinion of him. You know, a lot of people, they believe on Jesus, just not as the scripture has said. There's a lot of people who believe that Jesus lived and died and walked on the face of this earth. You know, they believe that, and they believe that he was a good man, but they don't believe that he was the Son of God. They don't believe he was the sacrifice for their sin and brought forgiveness to them. You know? And I think it's funny, people's thinking, if you start to dig into it a little bit, you know, you ask people, well, Jesus was a good man. He was a prophet. They believe those things about him. And then I have to go, but he said he was the Son of God. But you say he wasn't. So then this good man, this prophet, is a liar, according to you. Isn't that weird thinking that people have? It's just strange thinking. I don't get it. We need to believe on Jesus as the scripture has said. You guys remember that old show? It was way back in the 50s and stuff and everything. And they would have people on a panel, and lots of times they were, you know, you didn't know who they were, but they would try to fool them. They would try to trick people. And at the end, would the real please stand up? And one of them was to tell the truth. And my dad, they invited him to come out and to be on that show. But the problem with my dad is they couldn't find any other characters that could sit in the other booths and have a chance at pulling off that they were my dad. So what they did is they got Casimir and they got other teenage boys his age to represent. You know, and when they got to the end of it, would the real Casimir Zhukovsky please stand up? You know, and how they'd do all that and stuff. I tell you what, we need to know the real Jesus. As the scripture has said. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. You know, this ran through me, and this is my third attempt to try to say it without getting sidetracked. I actually came up with a nickname for me. You guys want to know my nickname for me? Pinball. Pinball, yep. Betsy's going, you're goofy. Why would you want to be called Pinball? Well, because that fits who I am. Bing, 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 bing. But I am one high-scoring pinball. Man, I tell you what, I'm setting some records that will never be broken. So if you want to just say, hey, pinball, we'll know, you just know that I'm good at scoring points. Amen. All right. That beats the one that my, never mind. All right. Praise God. I can just, oh, anyway, hallelujah. Here's my fourth attempt to say, what's run through my heart? Entries that Jesus had into this world as a child, into Jerusalem, into hell, and into heaven. There's one other entry that he wants to make into every person's heart. That's the other entry he wants to make. And I know it's the beginning of the message and not the end. But if you're here today and you've never let Jesus make that entry into your heart, let him do so today. Let him do so today. All those other entries are true. And He did them all so He could enter into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. Amen? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. The joy that was set before Him was He one day entering into your heart, entering into your life, and being your Lord and Savior. Amen? And even though He did all those other entries, if a person doesn't let that last one that we've been talking about just for a second here happen, those other ones will not have the impact in your life that God wants them to have. In other words, they will be in vain for you. They will do you no benefit whatsoever. Amen? So if you've never allowed Jesus to enter your heart, I encourage you to do so. It'll be the greatest journey you ever take. Anybody here in here can testify to what a journey? What a life journey walking with Jesus. I could just start telling testimonies now about how good He is. Wow. Yeah, I love cars. I really like cars. I like motorcycles. You know, just one of them. Diana and I have had, since I became a Christian, about 14 vehicles, cars, trucks, given to us. Wow. I'll tell you what, He loves to give. It's quite a journey. Here we go. Pinball wizard, He's at work. I remember when Diana and I got together, we weren't married yet, and had a motorcycle, and remember, maybe we were where, I don't remember, this close, and she just wrapped her arms around me as we're riding that motorcycle, and I felt like a teenager. Oh, it's so sweet, you know, and you know what you do, you throttle it a little bit. They squeeze a little tighter. I'm taking the backrest off the motorcycles, honey. You're going to have to hang on. But when I was a kid, I remember watching the old Double Mint and Juicy Fruit commercials. How many of you remember those way back when, you know, Double Mint and Juicy Fruit? And if you remember, lots of times they were in the setting of couples, like three or four couples up at the slopes skiing. Or at a beach having a good time. But it just represented people being together, loving each other, and having a good time. And those things stuck with me, obviously, because I longed for that. I longed for that good time. I dreamed about those days. I was hoping they would happen, but I never knew whether they would or not, because life, for me at that point in time, didn't represent that. And then years later, she and I, first time in Samoa, Tafa kept saying to me, "Hey, Pastor, take my motorcycle for a ride. Take my motorcycle for a ride. Take my motorcycle for a ride." So, you know, if Samoa is like Hawaii was, the big island before it became commercialized. That's how it is today. And when we went there, all of the island was, you know, parts of it were just starting to get electricity. I mean, it's untouched by man, and it is beautiful, and the people are awesome. And I asked Kelly if I should, you know, take his bike for a ride. And he goes, "That's up to you, man. You do what you want to do." So I just decided, all right, on Friday, when I'm done work, when I'm done teaching, we're going to take his bike for a ride. So class gets over and we get out, and Tafa's got his motorcycle sitting all there, shined up, gassed up, ready to go. And he says, "Here you go. Take off." So Diane and I jumped on the motorcycle and we took off. And we're cruising down this highway on the shoreline of Samoa. Here's these beautiful tropical trees and tropical island. And here's the ocean over here with the teal colors. And one place there's a black sand beach and stuff. And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, God. Wow. Look at where I am. Look at what I'm doing. Look at whom I'm with." And those Juicy Fruit and Double Mint gum commercials ran through me. And I'm like, "God, You got me here. You got me here. That dream. Wow. He's good. He's good. Amen." Boy, I'll tell you what, He can take dreams. A little 10-year-old boys have. Make them happen. What a journey. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad I let him enter. Let's go home. I might be done. I'm a wreck. A good one. Amen. I'm a pinball scoring some points. Bing, bing. Ding, 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 ding. Okay, okay. Okay, Joel. All right. No. We were still in John 7. I'm going to give you what I get. Anybody get anything yet? Anybody just glad that Jesus loves you? Amen. Looking forward to more of the journey? Amen. And today at the end of service, Lisa will be standing by the door selling more tickets for the Horse Whisperer. I didn't forget. Yay. All right. Amen. Praise God. He who believes in me, he who believes in Jesus, as the scripture has said, notice this, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I love two things about these passages of scripture that I've read so far. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? I love how he says, if anyone thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So what does he want to do? He wants to quench your thirst. Amen. He wants to quench your thirst. And notice what he does with quenching your thirst. Notice what the result is. Notice what the outcome of him quenching your thirst is. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What am I saying here? What's the scripture saying here? He wants to quench your thirst. And then out of your life come these rivers of living water to thirsty people. Amen. Amen. Rivers of life. Rivers of living water to bring to the people what he's brought to you. Amen. Glory to God. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now notice this. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. For those believing in him would receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit was not given, but Jesus. I got to read that all over again because I have messed it up. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was sent, not yet sent, given. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he's talking about, you know what? He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 16. I know some of this is a repeat, but some of it isn't. And can I share just something? I'm a pretty open book and stuff. Do you know that we have some people in our church that they've got a hunger for God? They've got a hunger for God. And I know God's been putting it in my heart that I get to teach some things again, that I've taught before, that some of you have heard before, but God wants me to teach him again for people who maybe haven't heard him. And how many of you know you need to hear it again? Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, I'm glad he's talking about this because I need to hear it again. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I know that there's a lot of you in here. You've heard me teach these scriptures. But you know what? Not everybody's heard me teach them. For some people, it's new. And I was praying about this, and it's one of the wrestling matches that preachers go through. Because you got people out here, all different ages of their Christianity. Amen? I think church is sometimes like an old country school. One-room classroom. And you got some kindergartners and you got some first graders and some fifth graders and some 12th graders and the teachers talking to all of them at the same time. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the older ones have the knowledge. I'm going to get to help younger ones with this truth. I'm going to get to speak into their life. Amen. Hallelujah. So praise God. That's kind of how it works and it's going to work that way today. John chapter 16. Verse 5. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, verse 4, I don't know if I said that, John 16, verse 4. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you remember that I told you them. For these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Would you just put yourself as one of the disciples right now, please? You can be John, you can be James, you can be Matthew, you can be Peter. Just put yourself as one of the disciples. And you have left everything. You left the fishing business. You left everything. You left everything to go and follow Jesus. And part of your thought pattern is, he's the Messiah. And Israel is going to be reestablished as a dominating power. And you've left everything to follow him. And for some, it's been a full 3 years, you know. And you've been going with him wherever he goes. And now he tells you he's leaving you. What are you thinking? What's running through your mind? You're there. You got yourself there that day when Jesus is saying this. What are you thinking when you hear him tell those words, I'm going away? You know what they're thinking? Sorrow. Jesus said to him, sorrow has filled your heart. Because they're like, I put everything in on this. I sold the farm. I sold the business. I gave everything up to go with you. And now you're leaving? You're not done yet. Israel needs to be reestablished. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Wow. How many of you, you're there, you're listening to Jesus, and you just heard him tell you it would be better for you that he goes away? How many are you having trouble believing what he's saying? How many of you going, no, Jesus, let me interrupt you because I have a plan. This is one of them where I do believe you need to listen to me, because I know a little bit better than you do on this one, Jesus. How many of you know he can see stuff we can't see? And there's a time and a place in our life where we just take him at his word and trust him. But he told him, he said, it would be to your advantage that I go away. It's going to be better for you. Wow. If it was better for them and they got to walk with Jesus, we haven't got to walk with Jesus in the natural like they did. How much better is it for us to receive the Holy Spirit? How much better is it for us? Amen. To go to Jesus and believe on him as the scripture has said. Now, do you know what? This is part of believing on Jesus as the scripture has said, isn't it? Because didn't Jesus say this? Isn't this in the scripture? Isn't this a truth about Jesus? I mean, I tell you what. So here's as the scripture has said. The scripture says through Jesus, you'll be better off receiving the Holy Spirit. Even the 12 disciples and those who heard him, they would be better off to have Jesus leave so they could receive the Holy Spirit. Wow. You ought to just go, wow. Okay, I'm kind of getting a clue here about the Holy Spirit. How important is he? Because I want to share this with you. I think for the vast majority, and you know, most folks here know, and if you don't, you will in a little bit. We are a spirit-filled, tongue-talking, miracle-seeking, miracle-doing church. Amen. We pray in tongues. We speak in tongues. Amen. And that's available for everybody. And we want the Holy Ghost to move. We want him to work. We want him to do. That night that David got that testimony, they were at a church that they've been at. Teams have been there for years before. And this time when they got there, the leader of their team wasn't there. And the pastor wasn't so excited about that. And it's a hungry church, and the Spirit of God moves in that church. And he just wasn't too excited about that. Kind of a little disappointed, and conveyed that to the team. So the team just kind of gathered for a while, and the person that was filling in said, "Man, does anybody got anything? Does anybody got anything?" And David kind of nervously goes, "Yeah, I think I do." And she said, "Okay, you get to kick it off. You get to start it." And he had a word of knowledge about people having anxiety and worry and all those things that that young lady was listing. You know, and then he got to minister to, I want to say, about 15, 18 people. And the team was ministering as well. And that one gal that he got her testimony of, I think most of you caught it, but all the cut marks on her arms from all the cutting she did. And David spent about a half hour ministering to her. And then when she pulled up her sleeves and saw just a small, small amount of what was there in the miracle that God did. Amen. I tell you what, I'm after that stuff. I'm after that stuff. And it's vital to have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know how Jesus did what he did? He got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he sent the Holy Spirit to us. Amen. I love it. I love it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I like those three things. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Did you know that's what the Holy Spirit comes to convict people of? The sin of not believing in Jesus. How many of us want to have the Holy Spirit convict people of the sins they commit that we don't like? We think he ought to do that. Why don't you let him be him? Amen? And let him convict people of not believing in Jesus. I read a cool testimony this morning. This guy said he's bullish on Christianity. And as you read it, I figured out more what he meant. But he's pretty excited about Christianity in America. He's pretty excited about the church. And I read part of his testimony, and about 30 years ago, through the help of a friend and a church, his wife received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And he was a writer at a paper, the Chicago Tribune. And he thought, wow. You know the first word that came to his mind after she confessed that she was a Christian and believed in Jesus? First word who came to his mind was divorce. And then he thought, well, I'm not going to get divorced, but I am going to deliver my wife from this cult of Christianity. And he spent 2 years purposing to disprove Jesus, because he is an atheist. And he spent 2 years purposing to disprove Jesus and with facts. He just liked facts. Give me the facts. Give me the facts. You know, being a reporter, that's what he wanted. And after 2 years, he came with so many facts about the reality of Jesus, he said, it would take me more faith to continue to be an atheist than it would to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So he got born again, quit his job, lost about 60% of his income, and became a pastor. He's been pastoring for 30 years. I read it out loud to Diana, and I just sat there and I cried. I thought, thank God. The only sad part in it, why did he have to lose 60% of his income? Maybe some of that old thinking where churches used to think, this is not one of them, but churches used to think, well, God, you keep them humble and we'll keep them poor. You can go ahead and laugh at that. I said this is not one of those churches. Okay, amen. Diana and I are blessed. Okay, I know where I'm going to get to today. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. You know, that's one of the things. If you struggle with your identity, if you struggle with who you are, if you struggle with your worth in God's eyes, if you struggle with the value that God places on you, for whatever reason from your past, if you struggle with the value that God places on you, what am I trying to say by that? If you don't see yourself as valuable as God sees you, if you have all of these reasons why you're not so important, why you don't matter, ask the Holy Spirit to convict you of righteousness. The righteousness that you are in Christ Jesus. The right standing that you have in the eyes of God. If the devil tries to bombard you with past sins and past mistakes, just ask the Holy Spirit, Helper, help me see who I am. Help me see my righteousness that comes from Jesus. Help me see my forgiveness. Help me. And you know what he'll do? He'll convict you of the righteousness that you are in the eyes of God. And you'll go, wow, it's all Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me. Thank you for convicting me of the truth that I am, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God. Turn and tell somebody, I'm really glad I'm here today. All right. Of righteousness, verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world has already been judged. You know who that is, don't you? Satan. You know how he's been judged? Loser. Failure. Defeated. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, a lot of people need to get that revelation. They need to get the revelation that Satan's been defeated. And in Jesus' name, you have authority over him. You know, one of the things, David spent about 20 minutes yesterday talking to me about, they went into the brothels and some of the toughest neighborhoods there were. And they saw people just get delivered. One or two things happened. People came and just got impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. And right in public in the streets, they're shaking. The power of God is on them. They're taking their drugs and they're throwing them away and they're giving their heart to Jesus. Or some of them were just running away. But the Holy Spirit was there. Wow. He was there. Amen. Oh, turn and look at somebody and say, I need him to work more through me. We do. We all need him to work more through us. Amen. Because God's got more. All right. Now, head with me to Acts chapter 1. And I think this is where I'm going to wind this thing down. And for some of you, I know I'm not saying anything new, but I hope I'm saying stuff that is replacing the value on the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, that he deserves, that he should have. And this next part is going to do something too. Did I say Acts chapter 2? 1. Praise God. Yay. Acts chapter 1. I'll just start reading at verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That former account was Luke, the book of Luke. Verse 2. Until the day in which... And I went to Jesus began. Everybody say began. You know, turn and look at somebody and say, he's still working through me. Amen. You ought to just look at somebody and say, he's still working through me. How many is he still working through you? I mean, he's still working through me. Why don't you turn and look at somebody and say, and I know he's still working through you. Seriously, you know, this would be a great place. Husbands and wives look at each other and go, he's working through you. Amen. He's working through my wife. I get to encounter that every day. Okay. Kind of quiet on that note. That was not the place to get quiet because I might camp here for a while, husbands and wives. So anyway, began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After, through the Holy Spirit, had been given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Everybody say pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus is talking to him about stuff pertaining to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's talking to him about. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Wow. I find stuff interesting. I remember when I was in Rhema and I'm in first year Bible school, every now and again you would hear instructors say in the class, stay here. Stay in class. Come back for your second year. You don't leave yet. Don't go out yet. And the reason they were saying that was because there were a lot of students that were chomping at the bit to get out there. They wanted to get out there and preach. They were just after it. They were hungry. And it would keep getting stuff, And this funny story, for me knowing Kenneth Hagin Sr., and having sat underneath him, and the respect and the reverence I have for him is just, you know, amazing because the impact he had on my life. Well, one time they're having a special meeting and all these people are going through the line and Kenneth Hagin Sr. is handing them the microphone and asking them, what are you going to do after graduation? So you got all these people testifying, and some are in the pastor's group, some are children's ministry, and there are different groups of ministry. And this one young guy, he's probably about 22 or 23, he's in the evangelist group. And Kenneth Hagin Sr., you know, who's like 75 years old? I mean, you just got a lot of respect for the man with what he's walked through and what he's done and his relationship with God. And he asked this young man who's an evangelist, so what are you going to do after you graduate from Rhema Bible Training Center? And he hands that young guy that mic, and the young guy just grabs that mic out of his hand and goes, well, if that isn't the dumbest question I ever heard, I'm going to go out and preach the gospel. What do you think I'm going to do? And we just cut loose laughing, amen, because to have the boldness just to say that, people were ready to go. Do you think the apostles maybe were thinking, hey, I spent 3 years with Jesus. I've seen the deaf healed. I've seen the blind where they see. People raised from the dead. You think they might have been thinking, let's go? They might have. They might have been chomping at the bit, some of them. Maybe not all of them. But, so they're commanded to wait for what? To wait for the promise. How important is the promise? These guys had 3 years under Jesus' ministry with hands-on experience. I had 2 years in a classroom. Boy, you'd say their education was real good. So it's mine. But, wow. And Jesus commands them to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. How important is he? If Peter, James, John, the disciples, they're commanded, don't leave. How important is he? Father, which he said, picking up in verse 4, Father, which he said, you have heard from me. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Remember John chapter 7, 37? Out of you will flow rivers of living water. And here's something interesting. Remember Jesus was talking to him about the kingdom of God? That's what not too far back we read that. He's talking to him about the kingdom of God. Verse 6. Notice their statement to him. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? There's an interesting point in here for us all to grab. What are they thinking about? Natural things? Earthly things? Kingdom of Israel? That's what they're thinking about. What is Jesus talking to them about? Kingdom of heaven, Holy Spirit. I wonder how many times we're thinking about natural things and God would like to talk to us about supernatural things. Amen. Amen. And how many of us can say, but these natural things are important. They're really important, God. And he goes, you can't see what I see. I got wisdom for you that you don't know about. You know, there are times when we ought to take the stuff that we think's really, really important to us and set it off to the side and say, okay, God, talk to me. Talk to me. You talk to me about what you want to talk to me about. Because that's more important. Amen? Sometimes we're so consumed with our own stuff, we don't take the time to hear him talk about his stuff. And this is a classic example. He wants to talk about the kingdom of heaven. They're thinking about this earthly kingdom of Israel here being restored as a dominating power. Turn and look at someone and say, his plan's better. Listen. Now look it up at him and say, God, your plan's better. I'll listen and shut up. Amen? Okay. Glory to God. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the season which your Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love this. This is one of the things I love about the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times people, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, they get off in, you know, the craziness and the wildness and the miraculous. And I think all of that stuff is great. I think we ought to have all of that stuff. And we'll look at a little bit here maybe. But you know what? The primary thing that the Holy Spirit does, the number one thing he wants to do in your life, in my life, is give us power to be a witness. That's the number one thing. When he comes, he will convict the world of what? The sin of not believing in Jesus. Jesus said here, he'll do what? He'll give you power to be a witness. Amen. You know what? Here's just a little nugget. When you want to share with people, stop seeing your failures and weaknesses and your inabilities that the enemy puts in your mind and maybe that you just have there, and start looking to the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find yourself being a witness in a way you never thought possible. I'm going back to David again just because I want to. But one of the things he said, he goes, man, Joel, or Papa Z, this trip has marked me. This trip has changed me. And one of the things it's caused me to be aware of is God has put things on the inside of me to where I know I can walk into a church and have something to give. Amen. How many of you know you have something to give? You have something to give. But how many times do we look at our inability to do things instead of the Holy Spirit's ability to do? What you looking at? Your inabilities, your weaknesses, your shortcomings, your failures. And man, we all got them. Or are you looking to the Holy Spirit? Are you looking to Jesus in his abilities? Through you. Through you. Through you. Boy, it's good in here today. Amen. I'm going to get into chapter 2, maybe a verse or two. I just want to share something that God showed me. And then I'm going to quit. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It's interesting. And when the day of Pentecost. Now, there might be some people in here who know what the day of Pentecost was. Not this day that we read about in Acts 2, but the day of Pentecost before Acts chapter 2. What was that celebration? What was that day? What was that feast that the Jewish people celebrated? And they called it the day of Pentecost. I did a little bit of studying, and the word Pentecost means 50. Representing 50 days. And if you count the days when they took Passover with Moses, you count that day and you go from that Passover to where Moses was on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments. That's what they called Pentecost. Okay? Where they got the Ten Commandments. How important is the Ten Commandments to the Old Covenant? Huge, amen? I just think it's kind of interesting that God chooses the day of Pentecost to give the Holy Spirit to the church. The Old Testament says, if we were to take the time to go to Corinthians 3, which I'm not going to do today, in the Old Testament it talks about the ministry that Moses had. Paul refers to it as a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation, where the law was written and engraved on stone. But then there's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that we have, which is greater than the ministry of the old covenant, which has a glory that's greater than the glory that shone on the face of Moses when he came down off the mountain. You got something in you greater than what Moses had. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He writes God's word, not on tablets of stone, but on hearts of flesh. It's living. It's alive. Amen. That's what he does. In the day of Pentecost in the Old Covenant, they got the Ten Commandments. In the day of Pentecost that we live in, we got the Holy Spirit who writes God's Word in our heart. And I've said this so many times, and I'm going to keep saying it. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and He writes God's Word on your heart, not only do you have that revelation written on your heart and it's like, yes, but along with that writing comes a strength and an ability and a grace and a power to do. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. See, stop looking to your weaknesses in the flesh and start looking to the Holy Spirit and let Him write on your heart. I've shared this before, but I'll do it again, and I'm quitting with this. I hope you're okay. I remember I graduated from Rhema. I went down to Rushville. And when I got down to Rushville, I went down to candidate. I got accepted as the pastor. And then I went down a week before to do all the stuff that you had to do to fulfill the obligations of the pastor at the church. So I went down on a Wednesday. And this is what I had to do. And I'd never done any of these things with one exception. I had to do 6 2-minute spots on the radio and a 15-minute spot on the radio that went out to Shadron and Gordon and Mirage Flats and Hemmingford and all of these places. It went all over the place. And I'm on the radio now. You know how many times I was on the radio before that? None. Got doing that, and I went to a nursing home. And I ministered in a nursing home. You know how many times I had ministered in a nursing home before? None. And then when we got done doing that, right before church that Wednesday night, I got to go to the county jail and preach in the county jail. You know how many times I had preached in jail before? None. And then, what I got done doing that, went and taught church on Wednesday night. All those things I had never done before. Except for, you know, teach on the Wednesday night. I had so many opportunities to look at what I couldn't do. But instead of doing that, I thought I'd look at what the Holy Ghost can do. Amen? I think we're just going to let that be the thought for the day. Look at what the Holy Ghost can do in you and through you. Amen. And give Him place. Give Him place. Set some of your stuff aside and give Him place. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's all go ahead and stand up. Amen. Thank you for listening to me and just being tuned in. And I always intend to quit at 11, but that doesn't happen. So I think I'm going to give that up. Start quitting at 11:30. Well, see, that way if I quit at a quarter after, I quit 15 minutes early. Amen? And you can go, oh, He let us out early today. I thought you were going to do a drum roll there for that, you know, help the humor. How many of you in here have Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? You've allowed Him entry. You've allowed Him to enter your heart. Amen? If you're in this place and you've never allowed Jesus to enter your heart, and what do I mean by that? If you've never, with sincerity of heart, not putting on a show, but just in truth and honesty, said, Jesus, I have blown it, I have sinned, I need help, I need forgiveness, I believe you died on that cross, took away my sin, was raised again, and I want you to be my Lord and Savior. So I ask you to forgive me and be Lord and Savior of my life. And if you've never done that before, He will come in and He will put you on a journey that's absolutely amazing. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if I can get the folks that are a part of the prayer team that want to come up, Jeff and there, and Brian, I still don't know if you want to or not, but however you want to work it, work it. Sally, you want to come up? Kim and Betsy. How many of you think it'd be all right if God did more miracles today? Amen. Amen. You just let Him do a miracle in your life. Let Him work through the people that are up here to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll pray, sweetie. Father God, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank You for this time. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. And that we'd cut Him loose. We'd let Him do what He wants to do. We'd let Him have His way. And we'd start to put our focus on the things of heaven and the things of the Holy Spirit. And we'd let the Holy Spirit have the place in our life like Jesus instructed us to. Thank You, Father. And God, if there's anyone in this place and they've never met Jesus, they've never asked for forgiveness, and they've never confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit would convict them of the sin of not believing in Jesus, and they would give Jesus the place of honor in their heart. They would just say, Jesus, I want You. I want You. And then, Father, I thank You for the Holy Spirit flowing through these folks up here where words of knowledge and words of encouragement and healing power flows through them, and they lay their hands on the sick and the sick get well. We just thank You. And Father, people are encouraged and strengthened. We love You and we praise You and we give You all the glory and honor in Jesus' precious, precious name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.